This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidland.mi.gov/MCTV.
The following presentation of the Midland City Planning Commission will begin in a moment. The Midland City Planning Commission is responsible for overseeing the city's master plan, conducting public hearings, and offering recommendations to the City Council on a wide range of local land use issues. The Planning Commission consists of 9 Midland residents who are appointed by the City Council. Planning Commission meets 2 Tuesdays per month at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T Uverse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs Podcast Channel.
Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Midland City Planning Commission taking place on Tuesday, March 8th. This meeting is called to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Mercer, will you please call roll?
Fields.
Present.
Panasik.
Here.
Mayville.
Here.
Kohlinger.
Here.
Seibel.
Here.
Broderick.
Here.
Bain.
Here.
Decro.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. And thank you to Ted for chairing in my absence last time. I really appreciate it. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the last regular meeting on February 8th. Any questions, comments? Grant, I did notice that on the public hearing it says there was nobody absent, but I believe there were 3 absences.
On the voting record?
Yes.
Okay, we can make note of that. The
for the capital improvement plan.
For the CIP?
Okay. Yep.
All right.
So with that one revision, looking for a motion and a second.
I move we approve the minutes of the regular meeting from February 8th, 2022. Commissioner Mayville.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. All right, meeting minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public hearings. We have one this evening. Before we get started, a quick reminder about the process for public hearings. I will begin with a staff presentation and overview of the petition. Then the petitioner will be invited to present, at which point we'll welcome public comments in support of the petition, then public comments in opposition to the petition, and then the petitioner will be given the opportunity for final comments and rebuttal, and then we will close the public hearing. So our one and only public hearing this evening is conditional use permit number 75, which is initiated by ABY Groups to approve a conditional use permit for a Popeyes restaurant. Grant.
Great. Thank you, Chairman. And as you indicated, conditional use permit number 75 is by ABY Groups for property at 1815 South Saginaw Road. The zoning of the property is RC Regional Commercial. We do have a zoning overlay district that's at play, the Center City Overlay District. That actually just regulates signage, though. So for tonight's discussion, that's outside of the signage consideration, is just the RC Regional Commercial standards that apply. The proposals for a Popeyes restaurant, inclusion of a drive-through, and under the zoning ordinance, any fast food restaurant drive-through in the RC zoning district does need approval of a conditional use permit. When we're looking at the subject site, it's a rather large piece of property, though, as I go through the slides, you'll see that the proposed development area is actually a smaller portion of the overall land holding of the current current site itself. For those that may be familiar with the Midland Motor Inn that used to be located here, that is the structure in the parking area that you see on the aerial photograph. This is on the northeast side of South Saginaw Road, which runs from the northwest to the southeast. This is an area in the Center City district of the city, adjacent to Pies Restaurant, other fast food restaurants on this side of the road. There's some multiple family residential that's also adjacent, and some single family residential that's adjacent to it on the eastern and northeastern sides of the area. This is all north of Patrick Road, and then the orange lines that you see at the bottom of the image is the freeway that terminates with business 10 and the roundabout before you get to Washington Street on the east, or sorry, west side. When we're zooming in on the site, again, you can see where that hotel was that's now been demolished. You can also see this the large asphalt parking area that extended around the outside of the two hotel buildings, which allowed for the parking for that facility. You can also see adjacent this kind of unique roof line, which is the Pies Restaurant. I'll talk quite a bit about this particular piece of property. There's also the gas station that's tucked in here. And then this is adjacent to McDonald's and their drive-through and roof line that you see here just off to the northwest. The total site plan area really is this portion of the site itself. And my next image will show you the overlay of that site plan on this aerial image. But the vast majority of the eastern portions of the site, certainly the sites that are immediately adjacent to the single family residential, this is all proposed to remain vacant at this time. That would be developed or redeveloped in the future, and would need to go through its own development approval process, whether that be a site plan or a conditional use, depending on the use that is proposed. It's a little bit busy here with this, but what this shows is really that overlay of where that site plan is located related to the stormwater retention or detention basin, and then where that restaurant would be located, which is very close to that frontage on Saginaw Road and just off to the northwest of the Pies Restaurant. When we look at the zoning map for the area, this entire site is zoned RC Regional Commercial. It's adjacent to RA3 Single Family Residential to the east. To the north is RB, Multiple Family Residential, as well as to the southeast. And then properties to the south and the west and the northwest are all RC Regional Commercial as well. The future land use map also identifies this portion of the area and the subject site to be commercial in designation, adjacent to medium density residential, and then public parks and recreation off to the southeast. The site plan that's been submitted by the applicant that you can see here, though there has been some modifications to this to address the comments that staff had, which I'll go through in detail here in a second, but it's utilizing the existing shared access drive on South Saginaw Road, so there is no new proposed access onto Saginaw Road. There'd be that bi-directional shared access drive with the front of Pies Restaurant and their parking spaces being located here. There'd be the introduction of this landscaping median and curbing, which would require vehicles to either access the Popeyes site through this first entrance here, allowing them to either queue in the drive-through lanes or maneuver around the building. Let's say there's cars stacking here to leave the exit. There's also accommodation for vehicles to continue down to the backside here, be able to circle around the building, and then back into the drive-through lanes if they wanted to access the drive-through or park and be able to access the interior of the restaurant itself. There's a dumpster that's proposed on the north side in an area shaded in blue with the enclosure. There's a landscaping area off to the east of that, which would be grassed and landscaping. And then the stormwater detention basin, which would have a grade that requires it to be fenced. So there is a chain link fence that's proposed around this. Whenever the grade is, I believe, over 1-on-4, it is required to be fenced as part of the city's stormwater management standards. So that's what the applicant is showing for a chain link fence in this area. This plan that you see now is the ones that have been submitted to us since the staff report was authored at the end of last week. The applicant has submitted plans to us that address the areas that are of concern. There were a couple that would have required actually going in front of the Zoning Board of Appeals if they wouldn't have changed the proposal, and the two of those would actually be the 10-foot setback that they're now accommodating here and still meeting proper distance for the maneuvering aisle in this location and accommodation of those parking spaces. The other one is the inclusion of a bike rack, which is proposed to be located adjacent to the entrance of the building as well. Renderings that have been submitted by the applicant show the style of the restaurant that's proposed. I do have a note at the bottom related to the sign package. What you'll see on the signs here is actually above what is allowed by ordinance. They have submitted a revised sign package to be compliant with the ordinance standards, but that's not shown on the rendering. So I don't want to confuse anyone that may be watching or the commission with the sign that's being included, since you're not being asked to approve the signs as part of the conditional use permit. But this is other mock-ups of the design of the structure, the design of the dual access driveway, which is something that we do see currently in a number of areas across the city in at fast food restaurants. Talking about the non-discretionary standards of a conditional use permit, because of course we have the objective non-discretionary standards and then we have the subjective and discretionary standards. With the revised plans that staff has received, which were placed in front of all of you, they have addressed the three main concerns that staff identified with the non-discretionary standards. That's the double lines, parking, the parking setback from the street, and then the inclusion of the bike rack. Those are all now compliant with city ordinance standards. We can also say that the site is compliant with the sections of 2706A, which is the long list of criteria that we review as part of the staff report. In addition to that, when considering conditional use permits, we do take a look at the driveway standards. Because they're not adding a new access point, it is a compliant and legally conforming or grandfathered in driveway that they're utilizing, and we're actually happy that they are using that shared access as opposed to trying to add additional access points onto Saginaw Road. There's eight additional discretionary standards that need to be reviewed as part of a conditional use permit: protection of public health, safety and general welfare, compatibility with surrounding land uses. Both of these staff feels have been adequately addressed. As mentioned in one of my first slides, there is a number of other fast food restaurants that exist on this part of Saginaw Road. This would be something that would be compatible with those existing uses. We have not found any detrimental effects or impact of traffic beyond what can function on the site. As it relates to adequacy of public services, this is adequately serviced by not only utilities, but other services of the city, including emergency access. Protection of site characteristics, those that maybe went out to the site, it is void of really any meaningful characteristics at this site, so this would be an improvement of what was out there currently, resulting from the demolition. And that is also relative to number seven, the compatibility of the natural environment. Compatibility with master planning zoning ordinance. Staff is supportive of this, pointing to the commercial orientation of South Saginaw Road, the auto orientation of South Saginaw Road, especially in this part of the Center City District, very auto oriented. And that is aligned with the master plan, and then the objective criteria of the zoning ordinance aligns it with the zoning ordinance as well. So with that, staff is recommending approval with four contingencies. The first one being that the approval of a CUP would be just for the drive-through, fast food drive-through use, and that any other conditional uses would need to go through their own independent process. The shared vehicle access is something that we want in writing to the approval of the City Planning Department, and then recorded at the Register of Deeds to enshrine it on the property and the title. And then the last two are standard with developments being final stormwater management and final soil erosion and sedimentation control. On a process perspective, tonight's the public hearing. If the commission feels all items have been adequately addressed, you may waive the rules of procedure and vote on it this evening in the form of a recommendation, with final approval being at City Council. If a recommendation is formulated tonight, City Council would then hold their public hearing on March 21st. I apologize, this should be that first meeting in April. since we need 15 days public notice. I believe it's actually April 11th would be the date that they would be in front of City Council. We did receive two public comments to date. One public comment indicated no objection to the proposal. The other one indicated interest of wanting to have a fence adjacent to the back of their property line. The location of that residence is actually one of the single-family homes off to the east, and so this developed portion of the site would not be adjacent to that. Therefore, staff is not recommending addition of a privacy fence due to its removal away from single-family residences. All right, and with that, Chairman, I'll entertain any questions.
Thanks, Grant. James.
With respect to, I don't know if it's Colorado Street or some, you know, some of those businesses from the Shell station on in, you can access from behind. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall if Pies was part of that or not. I believe.
Yes. So even though this parcel does have a small bit of frontage onto the cul-de-sac of Colorado, which is just off to the bottom right of the screen, they do not have vehicle access through there.
Okay.
So the shared vehicle access that this site enjoys is the Pies restaurant, and then Jersey Mike's. I believe that's the name of the restaurant that's in this location.
And could we go back to, I like that slide that kind of overlaid, like that. Mm-hmm. Now, would some of those houses on Carolina, even though there's another property between them and them, would there be concerns about car lights and things like that flashing through windows that a fence might address?
Possibly. That is something that you'd certainly have more of a visual screen through there. I think from the staff perspective is a couple of things. One is, I think, being mindful of visual aesthetic corridor, or not really aesthetic, but visual corridors from the street into the interior of the site. I'd be hesitant to support introduction of a fence in this, a privacy fence in this area, because then with what develops in the backside of this site, would be shielded from visual, which, you know, would be beneficial not only from a business perspective, but certainly from a public safety perspective.
Okay.
And so I think from a staff opinion, it would be more appropriate to do buffering through either fencing or vegetation or both when the balance of the site does come forward for redevelopment.
Okay. Now, with respect to the fence around the pond, would it make sense for that? Would there be landscaping along that, or is that required or not?
There's not a requirement for there to be landscaping around the fence itself. I know from a land perspective, we do have a bit of a limitation there. Opening up the landscape plan that we have. At the moment, there is not a substantial, thank you. I can switch over to our projector. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, so the, at the moment, there is not. There's the one tree that's proposed here, but the rest of that would just be grass.
Okay, so up to the top border there, that's where part of the fence goes, right?
That's correct. So the fence itself would enclose.
And there's no landscaping around that.
That's correct.
Okay. Then the other question, part of this is probably best addressed to the applicant, but it has to do with hours of operation and compatibility of hours of operation. I recall the Taco Bell, when we looked at that, it was going to be opened at 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And do you know what hours are for the other majority of the businesses on nearby?
We do have, I believe, a 24-hour operating McDonald's adjacent to this.
Oh, that is 24 hours.
It is. I know with the pandemic that those hours were tightened at one point, but I believe it's 24 hours now. Okay.
Okay, so there are extended hour businesses.
Yes.
In that, it's not that the corridor shuts down at 11 or anything like
that's
that.
That's correct. Nope.
Okay, and thank you. That's all I have for now. Mm-hmm.
That back parcel for redevelopment purposes, what would be the ingress and egress on that parcel remaining?
Yep, so that would be what we'd secure through that shared access easement agreement. I know I talked a lot about it being beneficial for Pies Restaurant, and that would be one benefit. It would also be, it'd be effectively this portion here that would then enshrine shared access of the same use of this driveway. So this would be the main vehicle access for the bound.
Do you see that affecting any of the potential use of that lot?
It probably will limit the auto orientation of those businesses in the back, so it's likely that we won't see a heavy auto use because of maybe perceived congestion of what that corridor could be. Though I think when you look at other areas of the city and maybe other communities, a lot of times you do have like hotels and other more passive uses that set behind. Hampton Inn would be a good example of that.
Okay.
Behind Panera Bread. So I think there's still opportunity there for development.
Okay.
James, go ahead.
With that in mind, you know, using that as a ingress thing, is that going to encroach on Pies parking then, or create a hazard with people backing out into that, or will that be looked at as part of the agreement?
So this right here, that's actually part of this review process. We do need to be mindful of how we're setting this up. Because of the width of the driveway that's being proposed, they are allowed to do this perpendicular-oriented spacing.
So there is an objective standard around that?
There is.
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Yes, the shared access driveway, is there any improvements needed in there? I drove in there yesterday, and does that need to be improved? Is there a plan for improvements for that drive through there? It's going to see a lot more traffic now mm-hmm. once it's built.
I'll actually defer that to the applicant. What we're seeing on these plans does not show specific improvement of that area, but it may still be within the scope of work. I'll have the applicant talk more about that.
Yeah.
Other questions?
I just had one more. James was going down, you know, talking about fencing or blockage of lights going back to the houses that are kind of far back. I know it's not a requirement, but where the traffic lanes, like there's three traffic lanes, two drive-through and one additional one that kind of goes around and around if you want. And is there a way in front of the detention pond to put, high enough vegetation or a 30-foot long fence in that location there just to block lights at night?
So this
just an idea.
So
I know it's not required.
Yes. That's something that I know that the commission can talk more about if that's something that they'd like to see. I think my opinion from a staff perspective would be very similar, would be that, yes, you would deter the interim vehicle headlights that would be certainly casting out this way as they make that curve around the building itself. But I do think I think we'd create for ourselves possibly kind of a visual screen that would be it'd be disadvantaging to the rest of the property. And I think it would also create some concern around those visual corridors that I was talking about.
Okay.
That would be my perspective on it, but certainly the commission can talk more about that if you do have deliberation this evening.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just something popped in my head when James was kind of going through all that.
And that's also why I was going into hours of operation a little bit too.
Right.
But, okay.
McDonald's currently has that same situation, but they did put the fence up, and it's only been a problem since they got it to the point where now they want to take it down. So I think because of that, you can't see anything that's going on, and they actually have there. There's like that Habitat for Humanity store, like there's a plaza of things, and it's a constant issue with you can't even see who's coming. So people come through, and then there's like almost or actual collisions often. So I think that may be a deterrent factor for why we maybe don't put one up.
So we'll Before we get into deliberation, I'll ask two last questions, Grant. One would be parking, what's required, what's proposed? Would be my first question.
Yes. Yep, so we do have, so total parking spaces would actually be 15, and what's being provided is 16 vehicle spaces. They also have two additional accessible spaces, which would be 18 total.
So they're above the standard?
They are, yeah, but not in excess of the 120%.
And the Center City overlay does not have anything to do with parking, correct? Just signage?
It does not. Nope, it's just signage.
And you said the signage at this point was non-compliant, and it's not compliant with even the Center City overlay for that? I'm just curious what the conflict is.
Yeah, so they didn't provide full details on the signs, largely because it's something that we do review externally or on its own independently. So what we went off of to determine that it is non-compliant is really just number of signs, and then what we're estimating to be the total square footage. But the applicant has not submitted like a sign review package that shows all of the square footages that's not compliant. They actually have submitted one that is compliant. It's just not on the updated renderings.
So the Center City overlay, the requirements it has for signage, what was the purpose of those? Was it to give additional flexibility for the corridor, or was it?
There was a multitude of reasons for why that overlay was established. One big one was actually monument signs out at the road for ground signage. When you drive through there, there's the pole signs that are a little bit higher that really create a bit more of a non-uniform aesthetic. They're also, depending on kind of how fast you're going through the corridor, you may be traveling fast enough at 35 miles an hour that they don't actually become easy to see. So that's part of it. There is more regulatory flexibility on the wall signage standards for uses that not are standalone, but for uses that are in plazas like Eastlawn Plaza and others to make it a bit more equitable.
Okay, that makes sense. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Any last questions? All right, thanks, Grant.
Thank you.
We'll invite the petitioner to go ahead and present as soon as Grant gets cleaned up. We'll need you to step on the blue mat and then name an address for the record and then presentation.
Ryan Walter, I'm with Wolpert. We're the civil engineers and architects for the project. Our company address is 1815 South Myers Road in Oakbrook Terrace, Illinois. I'm here on behalf of the petitioner, the AV Groups. He wasn't able to make it today. I didn't actually prepare a presentation, but if I can touch on some other things that maybe weren't discussed in Grant's pretty thorough presentation. So utilities, most of the utilities are accessible off of South Saginaw Road. So the building utility connections will be in the back of the Popeyes, with exception of the storm sewer, which will tie into the shared access drive with the Pies restaurant. Stormwater detention pond will drain towards South Saginaw Road. We'll have a restrictor manhole here before it drains in. We did preliminary stormwater calculations. We need about 0.2 acre feet of storage for this site, so it's a pretty small restrictor. We understand that when we get into final engineering, we'll have a more detailed stormwater report. Site lighting as well. We've got site lights kind of throughout the parking area. So we've got five site lights. Again, they're all pointed in towards the parking lot, so nothing's directly to the residents. Grant touched on general circulation. Everything is counterclockwise. That maximizes the amount of stack for vehicles on site, so there's no backup into the entrance drive. We talked about the perimeter fence along the detention pond, and that's exactly right. That's because of the slope. So our slopes are a little bit steeper than the 6-to-1 that's allowed without fencing, so it's more of a protection type of measure. You know, the landscaping has been designed so it's code compliant. I guess if there's any specific questions, I can certainly, you know, answer them.
We did have a question about, do you know the hours of operation?
I do. So it's 10 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week.
Okay. And then I believe there's an additional question about several commissioners have used the ingress and egress, that it's not ideal. Is there anything in the plans we're not seeing about how to improve that, or?
So we're currently not showing any improvements on the access drive. In terms of the shared use, there is actually a blanket easement agreement in place between the seller, the current owner of this property, and the Chinese restaurant. So our client is aware that they will need to be added as a third party to the agreement as a contingency of, you know, getting the project approved, so.
Okay. And then we did touch on signage, but any additional detail you can provide there would be helpful.
I do know that we're working with our sign consultant. He's already prepared plans to reduce the amount of area down to what's required per code.
Okay.
So those plans will be forthcoming.
Okay, great. Other questions, commissioners?
I got a comment. What percent, do you know, have a feel for what percent of the sales are actually vehicular versus, you know, drive-through versus people who come in? Do people come into a Popeyes? I'm not familiar with that.
I don't have the exact numbers, but it's becoming a lot less common. Most of their business is drive-through.
Okay.
I could probably pull the exact number.
Okay,
that's fine.
That's
part of the reason we have the dual drive-through lanes, to maximize the amount of vehicles.
And Grant, I know the picture they showed wasn't the exact signing, but it looked like one of the signs was more a logo-like picture of a chicken. Does that count into square footage, or can they claim that's art, or?
Anything that's logo-related would count as square footage as well. Signage. Yep. So if it's a depiction of the service or the products that's being provided.
Okay, so that chicken-shaped thing would be count as signage.
Yep, I do remember seeing a red X through that revised signage package that I saw today. Yep.
So it's the Love That Chicken logo will be removed.
Just to follow up on Commissioner Mayville's comment about the shared access, I mean, that is beat to heck. You know, when I drove through there, it was, you know, potholes you had to dodge, kind of, as I recall, mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah, well, and I know, so a couple of things. One is the subject property that you're dealing with this evening, and maybe I can add these comments after the applicant, and we've gone through the public hearing, but I'll make note of that.
Yes. Other questions for the applicant?
That's all I have.
Craig, did you have any follow-up?
No.
Any other questions, commissioners? All right, thank you.
Appreciate it, thank you.
I will now welcome public comments in support of the petition. Public comments in support. We'll now welcome public comments in opposition to the petition. Public comments in opposition. Any final comments from the petitioner? Ryan, any other comments from you?
I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing, and we'll go into deliberation and possible decision by the Planning Commission.
Yep, I can chime in on kind of those questions on the quality of the access point. So the subject site that you're seeing, you really have kind of two things. You have half of that driveway is, or roughly half, not fully half, is on the subject property site. So it would not be appropriate to require a property outside of the subject property to have to do an improvement. It would be, however, something that you could attach as a condition on this this portion that is on their side. Though I would caution you, because a lot of times we don't necessarily get into the quality, but for rightfully so, if it's in poor quality, then this would be the time to do the update to it. In other times, we do offset improvements that are on public property. Obviously, this is not public property, so this is a little bit different. So this is a little bit different than what we usually would deal with. But what I would suggest would be, if you do want to talk about improvements to it, I would focus in on what's on the subject property.
Okay. I just would think that somebody putting a new establishment in there would not want customers driving through potholes and potentially bottoming out and things like that in there. So
now, I did drive through there, and the whole place impressed me. But in particular, do you recall if it was that access portion it was made up to?
I do not. No, I did not look at.
My impression was it was, but
does any commissioner have an issue with making a decision this evening? If not, we have our rules before continuing any further.
Yeah, I have a motion that we waive and continue and vote tonight.
Got a motion? Need a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I only have one comment. I think it was kind of mentioned that this is an improvement to what's currently there, but I think it's also worth noting that it's an improvement to what was there previously as well. There was a lot of trouble from the previous hotel, and I think something like a restaurant with set hours and a generally controlled group of people coming in and out would actually help. So I think it could be good, and I think considering the long-term plan, it's not like a restaurant's against that, and the corridor is already set up for it. So I don't think I have any, issues.
This looks really a good site plan. I'm just concerned about the access drive and going in there with vehicles if there's issues with that drive.
I was going to say that I think it's a good site plan, and I would think that maybe that might work itself out over time, though.
Yeah.
If it's really terrible, the customers aren't going to, they're not going to drive through there.
So. And it can be improved later, right? It's not like it doesn't have to be immediate, does it?
Right.
It does not. The other thing, too, is to recognize, too, that it is a multitude of owners, which does create a little bit more of a complexity, which usually doesn't result in as easy as just going out and doing it yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that could also be at play, but I was also going to make that comment that usually the quality of the sites is, there's other incentives for property owners to want to improve them.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I said I would think they'd want it in good shape there, and it would be difficult to say, okay, do your part of the drive.
Well,
make it cut.
Is that appropriate for part of the shared access agreement, though?
What I might suggest as a salesperson is that the buyer and the owner of said property should probably put it into a purchase agreement, that there's some sort of in quick progress on an improvement of that space, and make a offer or change the offer to be contingent on that.
And that, if I could chime in, I think that certainly is an option to them. I think focusing in on more of our, on the standards, I think is one thing that we'll have to ensure. But yeah, there are certainly other options to rectify that issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be a way that, to your point, it could be self-correcting, is that if it is supposed to be corrected, that's an option that they have available to them.
Right.
Well, to Grant's point, though, if there are multiple owners involved, it may be that this is a time to have that discussion facilitated, right? It's not our purview, but I do thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, just the portion that's within this site is under our purview, and we could kind of give it a push by requiring something there as well. I'm not sure I'm in support of that, but it's just...
I think it's going to be self-correcting, personally.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah.
And I think considering it's a business, that's completely in their wheelhouse. I think that's a self-solving problem.
I would imagine any good developer or builder would be already addressing that in their plans.
Is there anything else to discuss besides the ingress? Any other comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Make a motion to approve CUP number 75 with the contingencies that were listed.
A motion to a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. Mr. Marshall, will you please call roll?
All right, this is recommendation of support for CUP 75 with the four contingencies listed.
Correct.
All right. Mayville.
Yes.
Kohlinger.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Broderick.
Yes.
Bain.
Yes.
Decro.
Yes.
Panasik.
Yes.
Fields.
Yes.
The motion is approved.
All right. Next date for the petitioner is the 14th of City Council, correct?
That would be to schedule the public hearing, which would likely be on consent, and then on April 11th is when the public hearing would be held.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. All right. We'll move on in our agenda to old business. There is none. I would welcome any public comments unrelated to items on the agenda. Any public comments unrelated to items on the agenda? We have no new business, correct, Grant?
That's correct.
No communications. I have no report of the chairperson, report of the planning director.
Yes, so I believe we had a, trying to remember, I don't want to repeat myself on updates that I've given, but the last city council meeting, I know we did have four agenda items that were planning related. I don't believe we've convened since then, since that would have been last week. But the PUD concept plan for project out at Valley Plaza for the hotels converting to the mixed-use senior living-oriented facility, that did receive approval 3-2 vote. So they now have the option to go forward and submit a detailed plan, which would be more of the site plan plus a little bit more extra detail that's necessary. That does not come back in front of Planning Commission. That goes directly back to City Council for their review once they submit that to us. We also did have approval of a new memorandum of understanding for Bird Scooters for 2 years. They did do a presentation to council that talked about the usage of the Bird Scooters last year in their first year of that shared micromobility. Midland was above average for our market area on usage and miles covered. In fact, over 1.5 times around the earth was the amount of miles that were driven on scooters in the city limits last year. Yes, so yeah, it is. They're looking forward to another 2 years of operations with that. Ryan, I'm forgetting the other two. I should have written them down. Yes, the payment in lieu of taxes ordinance was approved for the Deschano Lincoln Park residences, so that will move forward for their ability to submit their application to the State Housing Development Authority.
Indiana Buttles, I think, was.
Ashman and Rod, yes, yeah, thank you. And then the other one was to give staff the green light to issue a request for proposals for contracted assistance to study Ashman and Rod corridor. Timeline on that would be engagement with the public and then bringing back a recommendation to City Council sometime in late May. Uh-huh. It is a pretty quick timeline. The State Department of Transportation, MDOT, is, as part of their design plans for Indian and Buttles, asking the city to make a decision on the future of Ashman and Rod so that they can include that in their construction planning for the future of that construction corridor, which there is not. That's one other question we usually get around Ashman and Rod, and is there timeline construction for Indian and Buttles, and we have not received a timeline on that at all.
It's just the concept, not the actual.
I think what they want to make sure they have in place is full construction drawings, so then once funding becomes available, they can move forward with that at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any questions? All right. Anything else, Grant?
That is it.
All right. We have a busy agenda for our next meeting on March 22nd. We have three site plans as well as a planned unit development. Any other agenda items at this time, Grant?
We'll also add in our 2021 annual report to that, which is just a review of what we did last year. That's an annual thing that we send on to City Council for their review. That you shouldn't add too much a topic onto the agenda. The other four, though, will have their own public hearings, of course.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to that. Looking for a final motion.
A motion that we adjourn.
I have a motion. Second.
Second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.
This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV. We hope you enjoy the following presentation.